with, since this is the Christmas season, which will be called Firstborn. But today we're going to talk about grace, and that's such a huge and important topic, and this is our fourth week, and I feel that I'm an example of nothing but God's grace and His mercy and His love. He's been so good to me. I mean, As I said, I've lost nothing. And we are going to have some of the saints come and visit us. And, you know, God has replaced what we gave up in Michigan. And we were so happy to close on that house and turn over the keys and change the electric and the gas into somebody else's name and the taxes and all of that. And I'm so grateful. God is so wonderful. Amen. And our main overarching theme was, my grace is sufficient, you know. And it doesn't make sense, as I've said so many times, that doesn't make sense to our human way of thinking, but that God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. That's where God can show up when we can't make it, when we have a need. He is able to step in and fill the gap. Amen. And we've covered quite a bit. We've covered, first week was grace as an overview. Then we spoke about finding grace and how you can find grace. And the key to that was what? Looking for it, right? We show that every time that grace was mentioned, it was about finding grace. You can find grace. It's not just God picking winners and losers. But if you seek me, he said, you shall what? You shall find me. And that's all we have to do is to seek him with our whole heart. And then we talked last week about living grace and how we can live a life. And now this week we talk about it. Now if you've been given grace, then you need to give grace. And this week we're going to talk about giving grace. Giving grace. 2 Corinthians, our focus scripture is 2 Corinthians 8:7. And it says, therefore, as ye abound in everything in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. He's saying, and we're going to get back to that scripture a little bit more in detail, but he's saying, look, you already have all these faith, you can speak, you can witness, but also you need to abound in grace. And we're going to cover that in a little bit more detail. So we're going to look at certain topics, and we're going to talk about graceful words. We're talking about giving grace. And I think the most important and first thing about giving grace is our speech. How we talk to one another. How we talk to one another. Talk to people who are not Christians. How do we deal with people? Graceful words. And then we're going to talk about gracefully forgiving. It takes grace to forgive. But that's part of giving grace. Once you have received grace, you need to be able to give grace. And then being grateful is also part of grace. To be grateful. That's one thing God really hates, is someone who is ungrateful. And then lastly, graceful giving. James 4:6 says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And we discussed that, how you get grace. One of the important things is to be what? Humble. That's how you get grace, when you are humble, when you realize that you are not all that, when you realize that you need more than you can give. I need a lot of grace. And as I get older, I realize I get more cratchety and mean and and in a hurry and less patient. You know, I shock myself sometimes. I really do. I find myself, I just have to take a breath and say, calm down. You know, just chill. But you know, when you grow old, you're in a hurry. You know you have but a short time. And you just can't stand people just taking up all your time and just... So I need your prayers, because I have to catch myself too sometimes. I need grace. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Amen. Can you know you're humble? No. The moment you say, I'm humble, you're not. That's not something you can attribute to yourself. But you can try and live in humility. And that is actually grace manifesting when you are humble. So the first one we're going to talk about is graceful words. And it's so easy when someone says something to come back with a stinging reply, isn't it? To give them as good as, give them a piece of your mind. Is that what it says? Give them a piece of your mind. Man, I gave him a piece of my mind. You know, I left in an explosion. I was not going to quit that place. I was going to tell them what I really thought of them. You know, but that's not really grace. And does it really help? It may make you feel better for the instant, but sometimes it really does more damage than good. And I've been thinking about, and we've been going through a season about words and the power of speech. And Sister Melissa has been teaching about speaking life. And it's so, the most powerful thing in the whole universe is the Word of God. And He has given us some dominion. He has given us some dominion and some things that we need to be able to do. And so our speech is so important. It's so important because what we say, the Bible says, defiles us or can. Matthew 15:11, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man. Here is something profound because everybody thought it's what you take in that messes you up. But Jesus gave a profound truth. He says it's what comes out of you defiles you. You know, that's very deep. I'm going to try and give you an insight that I saw in this. So it's not per se the fact that you don't have negative thoughts, but don't speak them. It's what comes out. It's when you give utterance to that word or thought, you bring life to it. Yes, we will get thoughts and temptations and things, but when you speak them out, that's when you really give them power. Because Jesus said, it's not which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out. That's what defiles a man. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication. What do you think that means? Corrupt communication. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You know what they used to say is, there's a saying about saying stuff about people. Isn't that what they say? If you can't say something good, don't. I tell you what, we would be in a better place if we really could put that into practice. Because it's so easy to look at somebody and who has done you, you know, negative or just got on your last nerve and let something negative come out. But it's really true that if we could really not say anything except it was good. You know, come January, we're going to be doing some different types of fast, and that's going to be one of them, to go through a whole 21 days without being negative. Let negative words come out. We can purge from food, but according to this, if you know the whole story, was the disciples were eating some food, and they hadn't washed their hands, and the Pharisees started to criticize, and Jesus gave them such a profound revelation. Hey, that's not going to kill you. What comes out of your mouth may kill you. So when we start those fasts in January, when we're going to be doing that, you know, the Daniel fast, this is one that everyone should be able to participate. Can you go 21 days? Can you go 21 days without being negative about someone? Man, look at her. Think she's all that. Or the boss at work, man, that guy gets on my last nerve. He just keeps picking on me. Do you think you could go through 21 days without being negative about someone? I tell you what, that would be as hard as going without food. Because it's in our nature. It's in our nature to say stuff about people. I mean, if we were writing it down, and I tell you what, if everything we were saying during a day was written down and read back to us, we'd be shocked. I'm sure we would be shocked that, did I really say that? Man, that comes across so harsh. Have there been times when you said something, the moment you said it, you wished you could just reach into the air and pull it back? Oh, I've made some huge, huge things that were so embarrassing. I walked into a room one time, and I won't tell you the whole situation, and I said something, and the person was right there. The person, I can't explain it, but anyway, the person was right there in the room, right as I said the stuff. Right as I said the stuff. That should have been a lesson. But did I learn? Did I learn? You see, giving grace is not about, you know, getting God's blessing all the time. If you got something, you should be able to give it. And one of the most important things of grace is your speech. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good. Is what you're about to say good? Here's the qualifications. Does it edify? Does it help? Does it lift up? Does it encourage? If it doesn't, according to this, it says don't do it. We definitely have to try that this January. Go 3 weeks. Do a Daniel 21-day fast, but it won't be just with the food, without negativity. Boy, if we purged our system, think about it. I know I'm spending a long time on this, but if we purged our system of negativity, because look what the scripture says, it's what you say defiles you. That means if you could say only good things, you would be undefiled. Let's take the logic of that. Wouldn't that be great? You would be smiling all the time. I think that would affect you more than the other persons you've been saying the negative stuff about. You know, you'd have a better attitude. You know, you'd have a better attitude. Here's a modern translation. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up. Is what you say build others up? That's what edifying means. Does it help someone? Does it help someone? When was the last time you complimented someone you didn't like? All right, amen. Amen. That's probably when all the family was there and there were some members of the family you don't get along with, right? But the Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrath. You know, why don't we look for the good even in someone who, you know, is a negative person? Sister Johnny, amen.
You know, this is a perfect example because, like I said, everything that go on in your life is God is trying to use it to show you something. And even when my daughter tore out the windows, I was so mad and so frustrated, but God got my attention. And I started to think about it. You know, before I thought, I called the police so that they can come and take her. And when the police came and took her, God really dealt with me then. He was like, you done called the police on your daughter. And it really bothered me that I had called the police on her because I wanted her to be at home for Thanksgiving. So then God started to deal with me about calling the police on her. And this is what God did. I started to question him, like, Lord, when is this going to end? Why I have to keep going through this? And during the time that I was talking, the police had came and got her, took her out to the mental complex. And just as I was on the porch talking to God, they brought her back. This is something that has never happened. They have never taken her away and brought her back. So they took her out there. The doctor said, there's nothing wrong with her. Take her back home. So when the police showed back up with her, I'm like, uh-oh, I went into another rage right back real quick. I was like, why did they bring her back? God said, my grace is sufficient. He says, you're always trying to solve something. Every time something happened with your daughter, you called the police. He said, but this time I'm going to show you that my grace is sufficient. They took her out there, and they brought her back. And the minute she got out the car, she spoke to me. She said, Mama, you all I got. And that did something to me because I began to think about how many times God has forgiven me, how many times he have kept me, and how many times he has continued to deal with me.
Amen. Amen. Sister Johnny, when you were testifying, that's exactly what came to me about this lesson because I knew I was going to teach this with what you said. And you know, sometimes, as I told you, we have a thorn in the flesh. Paul said that it was given me because of the surpassing great revelations to keep us. And as I've said before, I have never gotten to the place in my life where I've just got everything just worked out. God always keeps me where I still have to depend upon him. I can't just, okay, I can sit back now. I have it all worked out. I've got this worked out. I got every bill. No, he keeps me at the place where I need him because he knows me. Maybe if I didn't need him, I might not be in church. And I'm glad that God sometimes inoculates us against our own bad desires. See, in the modern translation, it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for the building others up according to their needs. According to their needs. That's grace. Because what you want to do is look about your needs. You know, when someone called me up at 10 o'clock and I was in bed and they needed some help and wanted me to come out someplace in Milwaukee and meet them, I didn't want to do it. But grace is looking at what God has done for you. As you said, how many times has he forgiven each and every one of us? Amen. According to their needs, that they may benefit those who listen. Sister Janice, amen.
Praise the Lord, saints. I just want to talk about my second shift job, which is wonderful Boston store. So Thanksgiving Day, from 9 p.m. to 9 a.m., I had to work 12 hours. And I was like, Lord. And then I said, it's a test. To see if, you know, if I can get hired permanent. So the long story short, this young lady was watching me and she said, I had to go home and tell my husband, you didn't complain one time about your feet hurting. You didn't complain about the long hours. You had a smile on your face. And I was like, the Holy Ghost. And I said, thank you, Lord. Because deep down inside, I probably was complaining. Nobody saw it. You know what I'm saying? I'm like.
But you didn't say it.
I didn't speak it. So she said, it was so unbelievable. And I said, you could do the same thing too. I told
Amen.
Her, I was a witness to her. I said, you could do the same thing.
Amen.
I said, you were watching me, and I didn't know you were watching me, but the whole thing is that I was happy about my second shift job. I need some change. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, and compared to where I work at, my first shift job is a mental health complex. So I'm like, oh, this is just exciting. People coming all over. I get to look at things. You know, it's just like joy.
Amen.
And I really enjoyed it, you know, and I just thank God for that, because sometimes you can have a second shift job that you just don't even like.
Amen.
And I'm
Amen.
All happy, and then people come up to me and they're like, they got God bless you. And I'm like, oh, they can see the Spirit of God. And I just be like, oh, you know, they just
Amen.
Come and strike a conversation. And I was like, you have a blessed day too. You know, and I'm like, this is a job for me.
See, that's grace. That's graceful living.
And
Amen.
I thank God for that, because, you know, you might have another job that's really heavy burden and, you know, stress. And then you get back to the second job, you know, and I'm like, just all like, shopping. And looking. You know, you have so much joy. Not saying that I'm shopping now, I'm looking, but I temptation does come.
Amen.
That's not, and I always tell myself, that's not what I'm here for. I'm here to pay bills. That's what I'm here for. You know, I'm not here to shop.
Amen. Amen.
She left that up. I'll leave that to Sister Jack. But I just thank God for me being a light to this young lady.
Amen.
And she went home and told her husband. I'm like, oh, Lord. I said, that's just so awesome to know that I was a witness to her. And she went and told her husband about it. I said, you could do the same thing. Don't even worry about the hours. Just think how happy you could be. You're making money. You got a job. You ain't out on the streets. Just think of all the things
Amen.
That you couldn't have, but you got right now.
Amen.
And
that's
brings
awesome.
Joy.
Amen. That's awesome. You know, that's what we need to do. Amen. Even though she was thinking it, she didn't say it. And that's the difference that I see in this scripture. If you give voice to that, it's not that we're not going to get negativity or thoughts, but once you speak them, you empower those words. You empower those words. So what the scripture is telling us is, don't empower negativity. Don't let it happen. Amen. I want to give you an example in the Bible of someone who, and there's many, who exhibited grace. Amen. And actually, it's to do with this name of this church, Rehoboth. Genesis 26, 18. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. Then here come some people and take them away. Now Isaac was at least as powerful, in fact, as Abraham. That means he had hundreds of servants. He had fighting men. He could have started a war. He could have fought about this. Them, and it was his father's wells. He had a right to it because they hadn't dug them. His father had dug them. And so the herdsmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek because they strove with him. Now, many years ago, back in the 80s and 90s, I used to, had no ambition to be a pastor or anything like that. What I was into was music. And I belonged to a gospel group, and I used to write songs and stuff. And, you know, people would say, you should get that copyrighted, you should get that copyrighted. And my attitude was, so what? They can steal that. They can't take the gift, right? They can steal a song. I can write a better song. And my attitude was, it doesn't matter what you take from me, you can't take anything from me because God gives it. And when God gives it, he'll replace it. So I used to not be very careful. People would come to me because I had a studio and say, well, I've got to get this song copyrighted. And I'd tell them what to do. You know, you got to send to the Library of Congress and kill. And they said, well, do you do that? I said, not really. I just put a, you know, the C on it. But I'm not afraid of anyone stealing stuff because they can't. Whatever has given to you, God will restore it. Amen. As I remember that message I preached, you can't curse what God has blessed. It's impossible. You can't do it. People may hate you. They may speak all kinds of things against you, but it's like trying to sink a balloon in water. You can't do it. You have to fight to keep it down, and the moment you let it go, you know where the balloon's going to go? Right back to the top. Right back. I have seen that so many times in my life when you just not fight, because the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. In fact, it's better to just lay back and let God take care of it, because he says in Matthew 18, you should have not have touched one of my little ones. Shouldn't have done that. Should not have done that. Don't mess with one of God's people. You don't have to fight. All you have to do is stand still. You have to let gracious giving through your not giving a bad attitude, right? I learned so many new words when I came up to Milwaukee. Malcolm taught me mean mugging. I said, what's that? You know, when people, they look like they want to kill you. See? So if you didn't know that, I learned that here too. I never heard that before about mean mugging. Why are you mean mugging me? Christians should not be mean mugging, Sister Shanita.
I like to thank God for giving me the strength, because I had like two young ladies. I ain't going into details. They were threatening me. So at first I was like, you know what? I'm going to give me some pepper spray. I'm going to give me a gun because I can't fight nobody. My back is out and my arms ain't right. And then you know what? I started praying for them. I was like, you know what, Lord? I'm going to let you handle it. I didn't wish nothing bad on them, but one of them had a stroke and the other one, she got bit by a spider and was in the hospital for a week. So I learned to let the Lord fight my battles.
Amen. In fact, you know, when that happens, when God deals with people, you're actually so sorry for them. That's happened where, you know, you have to pray God's mercy, because what you were going to do is nothing compared with what God will allow to happen to people if they mess with a child of God. So we see here's an attitude of grace, because he could have started a big old drama and started a fight. Shall I tell you, I hate drama. Giving grace is about avoiding drama. Giving grace is, a lot of times there's no need to get into big old, you know. Sometimes you can avoid it, but at all times the Bible says that we wish that all men should live what? Peaceably. We should be the last ones to be in a fight. Right? Verbal or otherwise, we should avoid it. I was telling someone the other day, you have nothing to prove. You have nothing to prove. I was giving counsel to someone. Anyway, I just told them, you have nothing to prove. Just don't avoid that situation, because it always gets you in trouble. You have nothing to prove. You don't have to be a big macho man. You have nothing to prove. And they digged another well. So Isaac went and dug another well. This is grace. Because I know by the second time, I probably would have fought. I probably would have. I'd have given one and then say, okay, all right, that's enough now. And they digged another well and strove for that also, and he called the name of it Sitna. And he went to a third place, and he removed from thence and digged another well. And for that they strove not. You see, they found out they couldn't provoke him. They were trying to, the devil will try and take away your peace. And you can help him. You can help him. Don't help the devil take away your peace. If at all costs, Paul says we should try and live with men peaceably. So even if you are in the right, this is grace. If you've been given grace, this is giving grace back. Unmerited. They don't deserve your kindness or your love or your whatever, but you're giving grace. Avoid the drama. He removed from this, verse 22, and digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. You know what happened? If you read the whole story, that place had a famine. That place had a terrible famine. But wherever Isaac planted, he reaped so much. They tried to steal the wells because they needed water because there was a famine. And it didn't benefit them. They still couldn't do nothing. They had to come back to Isaac and said, we don't understand. How come you're increasing so much? I tell you, when you have the Lord's favor, when you have the Lord's grace and blessing, nobody and nothing can stop you. It doesn't matter who wants to speak against you. It doesn't matter if they're jealous. It doesn't matter because the blessing and God's grace and favor comes from above. It doesn't come from my job. It doesn't come from your job. If you will in all your ways acknowledge him, he will give you the desire of your heart. Sister Audrey.
After listening to you really talk about this, I think this is what was David's key was because, and this is why I think the Lord said he was a man after his own heart, because he always, always was giving grace, even though people were trying to kill him, even though his own son, his own child did something so horrible to him, he still was, like, mad when, you know, somebody killed him, or he was still trying to, like, have mercy, have grace to these people. And I really think this is a key to salvation, because I really think it's something that God is, like, really shines upon, because it also goes with wisdom too, because if you can give grace to somebody when you, even though you know you can get somebody back and you choose not to, I really think that is wisdom, even though you know that you can but you choose not to. And I think that's also going with grace. They go hand in hand, I think.
Amen. Amen. I could have used the example, as you said, of David, who could have killed Saul more than one time, right? In fact, just to show that he went into the camp when he's sleeping and cut off the hem of his garment, showing that he could have killed him. But he said, touch not the Lord's anointed. We do not have to fight. If you're a child of God, if it at all possible. Now, sometimes it is not possible to avoid conflict. Sometimes there is no, I'm not saying that you're a wimp all the time. But if there is a way out, because God said in every temptation, he would do what? Make a way of escape. So we should be looking for the way out, not the way to be confrontational. Now in our flesh, we want to not let anybody take advantage. I hate, that's one thing that gets me upset and angry is if I see someone just being absolutely mean and taking advantage, I want to fight back, right? And I used to be terrible. I mean, terrible. I'd never forgive you. I'd remember it 30 years. I'd still have it against you. God is so merciful and gracious. You know, God is so merciful and gracious. Now, so we see how giving grace, he could have fought these people because they didn't even dig the wells. And I want to show you the result of being gracious. Look what happens to Isaac now. In verse 24, the next verse, this was a test. God wanted to see what Isaac was going to do. As soon as he did that, look what God says, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night. Did you notice that? The same night. It was a test. Just as they were watching you, Sister Janice, it was a test. You could have gotten all, you know, be muttering and saying, my, well, they got me on this part of the line. I've been standing up here all night. And they could have. It was a test. Do you see it was a test? Because look what happens. The same night, the Lord appeared. Once you pass the test, God's going to show up. And God reaffirms the pledge and the promise to Isaac the same night. The same night where he had, okay, I'm not going to fight you about this. We could, but I'm not going to do that. He went and dug the third well, and it says the same night. That shows you that this was a test of his attitude. I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. You see, God was just going to see, is he going to try and do this on his own? When we try and fight on our own, we make a big mess of it. Big mess of it. But we have to trust God and lean not to our own understanding. This is part of giving grace, is avoiding drama. Amen? And here is a big part of giving grace. Forgiving. Forgiving. This is hard. This is hard. Because we never forget. We never forget. Matthew 6:9, very famous. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. As we forgive, there's a contingency there. You want to be forgiven? Forgive. Forgive. Every now and then I think about this. I stand still and I think, do I have anything against anyone? And at first I can think, no, I don't. I love everybody. I have nothing against anybody. I love everybody. At least that's what's in my mind at first. But you know, if I stand there long enough, I can think of some people that I might want to avoid if I saw them coming. You know, I realize, you know what? You're not as perfect as you thought you were. Because at first I could, no, I love everybody. There's nobody I dislike. Let me think. Do I like them? Wait a minute now. Sister Shanita.
Me and my twin, we grew up with my mother until we were like 14. We grew up with my granny until we were like 14 and a half. And she passed away. And we moved with my mom. And our older sister, she was just some type of vindictive, whatever she was. She just tortured us as we were growing up, and she just took things from us. She destroyed our stuff that our granny gave us, and she just did just mean things to us all while we were with my mom. So I ended up leaving home early and getting a job, you know, being fast and not listening to my parents, even though, you know, it was a lot of stuff going on, and I just wanted to avoid it. For a long time, I could not forgive my older sister because while we were moved out, my mother called me, and she told me that my older sister stood over her while she passed out from eating some cabbage. It was, like, down her throat because they weren't all the way done, and they were half hanging down her throat and half, like, in her mouth, but she didn't swallow them all the way. So she passed out, throwing up each time, like 5 times. So she called me and told me this, and she was just like, she sounded so raspy. And I'm like, Mom, you know, you need to go to the doctor before I come up there. Because she was, you know, kind of a hard-headed mother. And I was like, please. She's like, I have a doctor's appointment Friday. So that Friday when she went to the doctor, she went into a coma. And she never came out of the coma, and she passed away. But my older sister, I forgave her. I forgave her for everything because I hated her for doing what she did to my mom, all the things my mother called and said that she did. And, like, it was maybe a few days after she had passed on. We went to the house to try to spend the night, and she put us out of my mom's house. She told us we couldn't stay there. And she just told me, I never liked you. I've always hated you. You know, because I just submitted unto my mother, even though I was older. You know, I never disrespected her. I did whatever she asked me to do without any questions or anything. And it hurt so bad for all the things that she did toward my mother. So for a long time, I hated her. But I know God wants us to forgive, and he wants us to love one another. So I just started calling her. And all that, you know, anger that I had toward her started melting away once we started talking. Because I know that's what God wants. You know, it's not what I want, it's what he wants. And I'm glad I did it, you know, because I feel such a burden of, you know, relief off of me. You know, I just feel like I don't have anyone that I've hurt or anybody that I dislike. If there was, I always ask God to please forgive me for things that I know that I done that displeased you. And please forgive me for things I did not know that I did that displeased you. I just want to serve God, and I just want to do whatever he wants me to do. I want to be his vessel. I want to do whatever he needs me to do because I love him so much. And I don't want to be here with whatever is going to happen. I want my mansion in heaven. I want to live with God forever.
Amen. Amen. Forgiveness is a hard thing. You know, if you've been hurt badly, it's hard. It's not easy. It is not easy at all. But that's what God has commanded. That doesn't mean that you act stupid around that person, but it just means that you don't hold that grudge and that let that pain eat at you. As they said, it's like taking poison and expecting the other person to die. That's what bitterness causes. It's really killing you. The other person may not even notice. You see, Jesus, after he finished the Lord's Prayer, he came back to this point in verse 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So if you need a lot of forgiveness, you better do a lot of forgiving. Better do a lot of forgiving. You need a lot of, I need a lot of forgiveness. I want to make sure I do a lot of forgiving. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, Brother Putnam, when he was here, he put a new spin on that unforgivable sin. And I think it certainly got some merit to it. His take was that this was the unforgivable sin. And it could be. It says if you don't forgive people, God's not going to forgive you. And if God doesn't forgive you, what does that mean? It means you're lost. So you could stop God forgiving you. Now, that doesn't mean, as I said, that you hold that person to your bosom even though they got a knife. Right? I'm not saying be stupid. If you know a person, but you don't have that bitterness. In fact, what you would have is sorrow because actually they need God's love and grace. That's what giving grace is about. Giving grace in forgiving is a very important part because we have received, then we should freely give. Isn't that what Jesus told his disciples? Freely have I given to you, therefore you got to freely give it. That means we should be able to forgive anyone that asks. And, you know, in our little human, puny little minds, we think, well, maybe twice. Maybe three times is the limit. That's what Peter came up to Jesus and said, if I forgive my brother, he went beyond that. He said, seven times. Now, come on now. They're not really meaning it. But how many times have you asked God for forgiveness? I know for me it's more than seven times. Right? It's been more than seven times. And he said, no, not to seven times, but till 70. And I think that was per day. That was per day because the scripture says renew every day are his blessings, right? New every day. So part of grace, part of giving grace is forgiving. If you can think of someone right now who has done something negative to your life that you've been feeling negative to, and that's just normal. It'd be abnormal if you didn't feel negative to someone who has hurt you and made your life a pain. And this happened to me because I've been in situations where I know someone was just out to try and ruin things for me. And they were doing their very best to make a mess for me and get me in trouble. And it's hard to look at that person and forgive them truly. It's hard. But if you look at the bigger scheme of things of what they're doing for themselves, of the damnation that they're heaping upon themselves, if you could see what fate lies in front of them, you'd be so sorrowful for them because they don't understand. They don't understand. When Jonah came to to Nineveh, and he said, yet 40 days, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. That was a huge city with thousands of people, thousands of children, innocents, thousands. Yes, they had done terrible things to his nation Israel. The Assyrians were some of the most wicked, evil people. They invented all kinds of tortures. They were the ones that invented flaying people alive. That means they would skin their enemies, skin them and put them on poles. They were some nasty people. And that's why Jonah didn't want to go and go to that city, because he knew how merciful and gracious God was. Nineveh, the capital of the Assyrian Empire, was Nineveh. So he went to Nineveh and he preached. And look at God's grace. But Jonah was the opposite. He didn't want God's grace. He wanted the city destroyed. So God had to teach him a lesson. And here's the point that God made. Don't you know, Jonah, that there are more than 120,000 who don't know their left hand from their right? And he was speaking about children. There are 120,000 in this city that don't understand left and right. You want me to destroy them. So many times we're calling down judgment and damnation on one person. We're not thinking about that person may have some children. That person may have some loved ones who didn't do you any harm. Isn't that right? They may have some other people who, yes, that person harmed you, but destroying them is going to not just destroy them, it's going to affect other people. Do their other people deserve to have the wrath and damnation? Sometimes God doesn't do what we want because he's not looking at our little narrow focus. He's looking at all the things that that's going to affect. And who knows, it may be a chain that comes back to you. Sometimes we're asking for vengeance on somebody and we don't know that we're actually sitting on the branch trying to saw the branch through, thinking it's going to hurt someone else. Cut down that tree. Come on, saw it through. And we're sitting on the branch sawing it, thinking it's going to hurt them. And it actually may come back to hurt us. For if you forgive men their trespasses, this is grace. I'm talking about giving grace. Even though we don't like it, if we've been given so much grace. I know I've asked God for forgiveness more than 7 times. Even in a day. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, you want to have grace, more grace? You forgive. Blessed are they, Matthew 5:10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Now, it's got to be false. Now, if they're saying the truth, don't be complaining. You need to change. Some people are complaining, but it's the truth. Maybe you are lazy. Let's just call it the way it is, right? Maybe you are doing some stuff that ain't right. Well, don't complain about that. But if it's false, then you can rejoice. Now, you don't have to go fight them. Just rejoice because, God, you got my case. I'm innocent. Declare my righteousness. God will do it. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice. When's the last time you rejoiced because someone said some bad stuff about you? Now, come on now. See, we fall so far short of what the Bible tells us to do. Let's be honest. Man, she called me all kinds of names. Hallelujah! When was the last time any of you did that, come to church and start dancing? I'm so happy the boss got on my case and wouldn't give me the time off to come to church. Hallelujah, I'm going to get a raise. I'm going to be blessed. When was the last time we did that? Could be because we don't believe it. Do you believe it? Because this is what it says. Rejoice and be, not a little bit glad, exceedingly glad. So they wouldn't give you time off so you could go to the church event. Start to rejoice. You're going to get a promotion. God's going to move that person out the way. Rejoice. This is grace. This is forgiveness. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward. I guess the reason why we're not rejoicing is because you haven't been persecuted yet, right? That must be why. Because it says that we are to rejoice. Well, the boss been on my case, or this lady at work's been on my case, or I'm rejoiced. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. There is a purpose. As you said, there's a purpose. I think that's so awesome that the window broke, and was it the same day? Within minutes, here comes this guy, and he has the glass that fits it exactly. I just love your testimonies. Amen. Amen. That's called showing up on time. Amen. Here's a modern translation of Ephesians 4:31. It says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice. And it says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. That should be our attitude. We should be the examples of love. People should be scratching their head. Well, I said all kinds of stuff about them, and they're being so nice to me. Shock them with your love. We should be different. We should be a peculiar people. Isn't that what the Bible says? You're called out to be a peculiar people. We should be different because we were loved. We are loved. As I said, sometimes some people were not breastfed. You know, they have this hate. They were never given love. They don't understand what love is. Show them something different. That's giving grace, forgiveness. And I spelt this wrong, but it's grace, giving grace. my fingers typed too fast. I'm going to give you a biblical example. The woman caught in the very act. They say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? When Jesus had lifted up himself, I skipped some verses because you know he went writing and the Bible doesn't tell us what he writes. In this picture, he wrote free. I don't know what he wrote. As I said, I think he wrote some stuff about those people standing around and they looked at what he was writing and decided they better go. But he wrote something that they didn't like and they all took off. Here's grace. Here's true forgiveness. The only person who had a right to throw any stones was Jesus. He was the only perfect one. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go, but sin no more. Grace is not so you can keep going doing the same thing. Because there will come a time where grace will end. We are in the age of grace, but it's going to end. It's going to end. So here's an example of forgiveness. Forgiving even when we know. Forgiving not when they're proved innocent, but forgiving when they're guilty. When they have done the thing. That's when forgiveness and giving grace comes in. And I'm going to hurry. I'm coming to the last one. And you probably didn't know this, but this goes back to the very first scripture I read. That giving grace is also about generosity. It's also about generosity. Grace is forgiving, and grace is also forgiving. Forgiving. Let me give you that scripture in a modern translation. That was the very first one I read. It says, since you excel in so many ways, this is Paul to the Corinthian church. Since you already excel in so many ways, your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love from us, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving. That's what he was talking about. Church, you're doing really good. You got the gifts, but there's one more thing you could do. You need to up your giving. Now, I hate talking about that, but that's what this is. This is part of grace. Grace also means generosity of spirit, helping other people when you see they're in need and you can do something about it. Maybe you can't do something about it as far as physical, but you can pray. You can go and speak to them. You know, I've been teaching Purpose Institute, and it's the end of the semester, so they were all supposed to turn in their papers to me, and a few people hadn't sent in their papers. So yesterday I sent out a few emails. You know, they should have turned them in like a month ago, but I've been very generous. I've given them even after the last the last class. So I wrote to one of the students, and I said, you know, I haven't received your paper. I don't know if you gave it to me and I mislaid it, but could you send it again? And they sent me back an email yesterday night saying they're very sorry. They had spoken to the administrator, but they had lost their job a month ago, and they had been so intensely looking for a job that they hadn't been able to finish the paper. You know, and I thought, what a bad time to be in need and not, you know, at this Christmas, Thanksgiving, and going through all of that. So I was wondering, what could I say to this person to encourage them? And so I wrote some things. You know, I didn't have anything to give them, but I gave them such as I had, which was a word. We may think we can't give money, but we can go up to someone and ask, how are you doing? Is everything going okay? Sometimes we're scared of doing that because we don't want to hear what the result is going to be. No, it's not okay. Because then that puts something back on us. And a lot of times we don't want to get involved. I mean, I don't. You know? But that's what giving grace, God has called us to not just be in our own little world. But if we see a need, we're supposed to try our best to help. That's what this scripture is saying. Paul was saying to the Corinthians church, listen, you've got faith. You have gifted speakers, you have knowledge, you've got enthusiasm. But I also want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving. He was exhorting the church to do better in their giving. Because we have needs. We do have needs in this church. And one person can't do it all. Or a few people can't do it all. But if everyone does what they can, then the burden is shared, you know. Now, we were blessed to be able to fix some things in this church last year. We were able to replace the heating. We were able to put on a roof. But there was one area that we left out deliberately because we just didn't have enough money to fix, and that was the steeple. So we didn't replace the steeple because that was going to be a whole pile of money. And the one place we did not replace is the one place where it still leaks. If you look over in that corner there, you'll notice that although we painted it, can you see that it's starting to be stained again? So that's because there's one area up on that steeple where the guttering needs to be replaced. So I went and got a quote to get that done. But I'm just saying, because this church is old, it's always going to have some needs. And so grace is not just coming and enjoying yourself. And I'm not putting a burden on anyone in this church, but I just wanted to show you how it works here. Here's someone who didn't have much to give. Luke 21:1. Jesus studied people. Did you know that? He stood and he was watching people. Do you know he's watching you? He's studying you. What are you doing with what you have been given? Luke 21, and he looked and he saw the rich man casting in their gifts into the treasury. And he also saw a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. That was like, you know, a couple pennies. That's all she had. But she was doing it faithfully. She was giving grace. She was giving grace. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. See, the great thing about God is he grades on the curve. He knows what you're able to do. So he's not comparing you with a rich person. Because he knows you can't give, you know, $10,000. Maybe I can say it because he's not here, but my friend Patrick is quite wealthy. In fact, he's very wealthy. He may not look it, but he's very wealthy. He told me in 3 years he's going to be making $10 million, and he wants to buy a whole church building and give it to this particular church. And he's the kind of person will do it. He's just that kind of person. He will set a goal, and he'll do it. You see, now God isn't expecting you or me to do that. But do we have 2 mites? And maybe all we do when we come to church is pick up the trash. That's an enormous gift to the church. Maybe all we do is we, on the seat that we sit, we see chewing gum. And we pick that up and we just throw it away. See, grace is also giving of whatever God has blessed us with. Maybe I shouldn't say that about Patrick. I made a mistake there. Anyway, God has blessed him, but he's not the kind of person who's not. The reason why he's blessed is because he blesses. His whole goal in raising that money would be to buy a whole building and give it to a church. That's what he told me. And I know God will enable him to do it. Of a truth, I say, this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. It's not about how big you give. It's with the heart that you do it with. For these have cast in their abundance, but she of her penury, that means of her poverty, hath cast in all the living that she had. That was grace. She didn't have much, but she supported the tabernacle. That's also grace. That's what the whole scripture, the very first scripture I read to you about. Malachi 3:10, bring the whole tithe into the store so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. See, the reason why some people are not blessed is because they don't bless. That's how it works. Amen. You may stand. Amen. Amen. God is so good. I'm so proud of this church because, and there are people in this church, there's a student in this church who doesn't give much, but what they're giving compared to what they get is huge. And they've done it every week without fail. I mean, every week pretty much without fail. And I can't say their name, but I just think that there's many people like that. That's why God's going to be blessing that person. Not me. I can't bless them, but God is going to. God blesses faithfulness. That's why I know Patrick is going to be blessed. Because his whole goal with getting the money wasn't for himself. He said to me, you know, I really want to buy this church, this building for this church. And I'm going to do it. And he came to me and I don't know why he came to ask me. He said he came here especially to seek my counsel. I don't know why. I don't have any counsel. But he said he came to three people in America he wanted to talk to about what he wants to do next with what God has blessed him. So he came and he sought me and I said, well, Patrick, I have no wisdom other than I know God is going to let you do what you have to do. And he said, the reason why I want to do this is because I want to build a church and give away the building to a church. That was his whole goal. And when you have that as a goal, you know God is going to fulfill it. God is going to fill it. When we put God first, probably the best gift my parents ever gave me, you know, at the time I hated it, was that Bible. I still have it. The covers are off, but the first page still has that thing, and I've got it on my bookshelf. Seek ye first kingdom of heaven and God's righteousness, all these other things. And that's why God has been so gracious and loving and merciful. Not that I deserve it or you deserve it, but if we will let whatever God gives us be a flow. We're not building a lake. We're not trying to, it's not who dies with the most wins. Did you know that? You can't take it with you. But when we are blessed with whatever little blessing, maybe all you can do is pray for someone, encourage someone. That's giving. When there have been people come up to the church to me and say, I'm praying for you, Pastor. That encourages me. That lifts my spirit. To me, they've given me $1 million that day. Amen. To know someone is praying. And sometimes I try and text people, and I might not be able to sort out the situation that they're in, but I can give a word of encouragement. That's what I'm saying. Generosity. When we have been given, when we have been blessed, when we have been forgiven, that's why God has poured out so much upon us. The Bible says we are seated in heavenly places. And there God's faithfulness cannot be denied. He says, test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Sometimes the blessing isn't money. It's just health. I am shocked. I am shocked in myself the way I live my life. That it must be just God's mercy that I have not been sick. I have not, you know. I had no operations in all my life. The most I've ever damaged is a finger when I broke a finger. But apart from that, to me, that is better than gold. There's some things money cannot buy. You can be blessed with health. You can be blessed with strength. I am so grateful for God giving me strength, because sometimes I go 3 hours of sleep a week every night. And God just opens, you know, my wife sometimes says, how can you do that? You know, she'll go to bed with me up and she'll wake up with me up. But I'm not boasting except in God's mercy and his grace. That's more than money. That's more than money. I am so grateful for God's love. And I'm telling you, as we close out this theme on grace, God's unmerited favor, that if we will be faithful in the year to come, God is going to break down every door. You are going to get such deliverance. And I've seen it happen. I wish I could tell some names, but I can't tell names. I can't tell names, but God's already doing it in this church. God's already doing it in this church. Amen. When we are faithful to him, he'll be faithful to us. The scripture says that very night, after the test, the Lord showed up to Isaac and said, you see, Isaac, I was just testing you, whether you were going to try and look after yourself or going to let me do it. And he says, because of that, I'm going to multiply. I'm going to pour down a blessing that I promised my servant Abraham, because you have been faithful. I want to encourage you, saints of Rehoboth. This is named Rehoboth, which means God has made room and we shall be fruitful in the land, fruitful in your work, fruitful in your family, fruitful in your worship, fruitful in your prayer life, fruitful in faith, fruitful in your children. God has made room. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just thank you for your anointing that breaks every yoke.